Again, we appreciate your prayers. Last night, we dealt a little bit with prayer, the power of prayer. And we believe that that's the most, one of the most powerful weapons that we have against the devil. The scripture gave us an understanding that we read in James that said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And what that means is that the prayer that we pray must be an effectual prayer. In other words, it brings about a desired effect. It's not just a prayer, not just something that you, a few words that you say, you get down on your knees or wherever you're praying, whether you're standing up, whatever you're doing. But there is an effect that we desire. There's something that we desire the Lord to do. And there's this connection. So we want that infers to us that there is an effectual prayer. And then there's one that's not quite as effectual. And so what we want to do is learn a little bit today about how to have effectual prayers. We desire that you pray for us and with us. We want to turn to Luke, the 11th chapter, and I want to begin reading at the first verse there. Luke 11, verse 1.
It came to pass,
as he was praying in a certain place,
when he ceased,
one of his disciples said unto him,
Lord, teach us to pray,
as John also taught his disciples. So this tells us the Lord Jesus Christ showed his disciples by example. So he did not expect them to pray, and he not lead by example. So what this tells us is here is that there is a need for us to learn how to pray. So he said, Lord, teach us to pray. They saw that Jesus' prayers were effectual, and the things that Jesus prayed for happened. The things that Jesus desired, and when he went to the Father, how he prayed to the Father and whatnot, they saw the effectiveness of it. And so they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And so what we have here is that Jesus said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, we all know the Lord's Prayer, don't we? But one of the things that I feel like the Lord wants us to understand, and the Lord has taught me more, and is in the process of teaching me. I don't claim to know very much, and I definitely don't claim to know everything. But there are some things that I think are very important for us to get a hold of in this particular passage of Scripture. And I want to just deal with a little bit of it. First of all, there is a necessity for us to learn how to pray. In order for us to be effective against the enemy of our soul, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, teach me to pray. There's nothing wrong with us asking the Lord to teach us praying and asking the Lord, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me how to be more effectual. Teach me what to ask for and what not to ask for. And these are things that the Lord is laying out here. What he says here to the disciples is, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, there are a few things, I want you to help me out a little bit here, but there are a few things that I think are important for us to understand in this passage of Scripture. The first thing that we have to understand, in prayer, there has to be a relationship with the one that we're praying to. So the first thing that he presents to us is Our Father. Now, it's important for us to understand that, because it's Our Father. It's not just somebody else's Father, but it's Our Father. Now, the point that I want to make here is that my children can get a lot more out of me than your children can get out of me. If somebody came, I walked up to somebody, or a child walked up to me and said, Brother Darrell, would you buy me a car? Where's your daddy? But if my son walked up to me and asked me that, then we'd have to sit down and talk about it. If this is a desire that I think is beneficial for him, then there is something that I'm going to do in order to make this happen. All right, so we understand, first of all, what he establishes here in this passage is Our Father. Not just anybody's Father, but it's your Father. So when you're praying to your Father. And so there is established the relationship, a very close and intimate relationship, where he has begotten you He's actually birthed you into this world, which means, in essence, what is a father's responsibility? What is a father? He's a provider. So anything that we need, a father is responsible for providing that. So this is one of the things that a father does. A father is what else? A protector. Anything else? I want you to help me today. Don't be quiet, all right? He's a comforter. Somebody said comforter, right? All right? Comforter. He's a leader. So all of this is encompassed in the Father. It's our Father. So he's all of these things to us. He's our provider. So if there is something that I desperately need, then my Father is responsible for getting that for me when I am under his care. All right? So those of us that are fathers and have children that are dependent on us, when they're dependent on us, our responsibility is to make certain that everything that they need, we provide for them. So when we speak and when this scripture brings out our Father, which art in heaven, what it really is saying is that there's a relationship, and everything that I need as I am dependent on him, everything that I need, he is under an obligation to provide. All right? He's under an obligation to provide. Now, I didn't say everything that I want. I said everything that I need. And so he says, our Father, and there's another interesting point that I think that we need to understand. Our Father, which art in heaven. All right? So we understand here that our Father, there's a place. Heaven is the highest place, and it has a lot to do with where a person is. If my father lived in the White House, he could do a lot more than if my father lived down the street from here. All right? So he has authority. There is a certain level of authority of a father that lives in a White House, or a father that lives in a palace or a big mansion or wherever those places that cost millions and millions of dollars. That father that lives in that kind of a neighborhood has a lot more ability to be a provider and a protector and give that child everything that they need than the father that lives on a farm. Nothing wrong with the farm. But on a father that's a poor man that lives down the street. Even though he has the same kind of responsibilities, he has less of an ability to perform some of the things that individual needs. So when we speak about our Father, first of all, this establishes the relationship that we have with God the Father. There's a relationship here, and we understand that this is a Father which art in heaven. The highest point, everything that we need, everything that man could even dream of is here. And so that's the highest point. So we need to understand that this is the place from which our Father is visiting with us about. All right? So he is in a place of the highest authority. So once we understand that, our Father which art in heaven, we understand a little bit more in how we have the ability to go to him and how he has the ability to provide whatever it is that we need. Whatever spiritual blessings, whatever temporal blessings, we realize that everything in heaven and earth, God controls it. And so when we understand that, we can understand that the things that I desire, God is well more than able to provide those things for me. So our Father, which art in heaven. So it shows us this pattern or this understanding so that every time that I go, it is not that I get down on my knees and I say, our Father, which art in heaven. It is that I need to understand in order to be effectual. I need to understand in my mind that this is my Father. That he is special to me. My father had 6 sons. And I never felt like he loved any one of us more than he loved the other one. And so there is this equality that he has. It is not that he loves Brother Daryl more than he loves you because he called Brother Daryl to preach the gospel. He called you to preach the gospel too. It's your father. And I don't believe that I believe that if a father treats his children in the right way, in the proper way that he should, none of the children feel slighted. All right? So this is the kind of father that we have. He's in heaven. He's in a place of authority. Now, the next thing that I want to deal with is, it says, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed. Give me a definition for that. Help me out today, okay?
Holy.
Holy. Honored. Reverence. I want, hallowed be thy name. And I think that this is a very important thing for us to understand. One of the things when I was a child, one of the things my parents would never let us say, there were certain words that we couldn't say. We couldn't say golly. And there were certain things that if we could not take the name of the Lord in vain, we couldn't say, oh God. All right, I'm saying these things here to give us an understanding of what goes on in the world. We've heard people say that. And there's another thing that I'm noticing that the world does in various kind of settings. Maybe you do something that's bad. Maybe you step in something that's not doesn't smell very good. And what do people say out in the world? Oh God. And what happens? It just seems like that's a simple thing. It's something that everybody does. But I wonder why the devil chose to put that in people's minds. There is an association with that. So the things that happen to me that are bad, then I can relate that to God and has nothing to do with Him. In that context. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right, so it's very important for us, for you and I, to understand, hallowed be the name of the Lord. Do not use the name of the Lord in vain. It's a powerful name. And I believe that as we go along, we'll understand it a little bit better. I want us to read a few scriptures. First of all, we'll come back to this. I want someone to turn to Isaiah, the 6th chapter. 9th chapter, 6th verse. Someone else get us Philippians, the 2nd chapter and the 9th verse.
Isaiah 9:6.
Yes. Yes, please. I'm going to ask you to help me out today. This is more of a lesson than it is a preaching. So it's probably a little bit of both, but if you'll help me out, I sure would appreciate it. Read, please.
For unto us
a child is born.
Unto us
a son is given.
The government shall be upon his shoulders.
His name shall be called Wonderful,
Counselor,
the Mighty God,
the Everlasting
Father,
the Prince of Peace.
All right, that's good enough because we're dealing just with the name here. It says, unto us a child is born. Who is this talking about?
Jesus.
It's talking about Jesus. Unto us a child is born. It says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful.
Right? Wonderful. Counselor. The Mighty God. I think that's a very important thing for us to understand, that his name is called the Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. So what this shows us here, to some degree, that there is an equality with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. This is what the scripture just ties in. So when we pray, when we say, Our Father, which art in heaven, he said his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. So there is a connection between Christ the Son, they're three in one, is it not? So Christ the Son, God the Father, Christ the Son, the Holy Spirit, they're all three in one. So what it brings out here is that when we use the name of the Lord God in vain, we use the name of the Lord Jesus in vain as well. He is God himself as well. Are we clear in that? All right, let's go a little further. So here, this brings out the point that God and Christ being equal. Let's turn to Philippians, the 2nd chapter. Let's read that, please. Wherefore,
highly exalted him. Okay, excuse me. Let's back up to the 5th chapter, the 5th verse of that chapter.
Let this mind be in you,
which was also in Christ Jesus.
He being in the form of God,
thought being in the form of God. I want us to get a hold of that. Being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. All right? He made himself of no reputation,
took upon him
the form of a servant,
was made in the likeness of men,
being found in fashion as a man,
he humbled himself,
became obedient unto death,
even the death of the cross.
Wherefore,
God has highly exalted him
and given him a name
which is above every name.
The name of Jesus Christ
is above every name.
God has exalted him.
When he died on the cross and
he rose again,
there was an exaltation that went along with that.
Continue to read that. Read the rest of that, please.
Okay.
That at the name of Jesus,
every knee
should bow
of things in
heaven,
things in the
earth,
and things under the
earth,
and that every
tongue should confess
that Jesus
Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All right, so what establishes here is, and again, this is us, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us the importance of praying. Teach us the importance of praying in the right way, praying in the Spirit. We need the Lord to teach us that. We don't know how to do it in and of ourselves. So the Lord gives us, in essence, an outline that he lets us know that when we ask something in the Father's, when you, Jesus said, if you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. All right? So here what we have here, and pray for us, that we'll be able to express it like the Lord wants us to. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. Now it says above every name. So here's another point that we want to bring up. Read that verse again, please. Given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow.
Of things in heaven.
Things in heaven.
Things in earth.
Things in earth.
Things under the earth.
Things under the earth.
And that every tongue should confess.
Every tongue should confess. Now, I don't know what the devil looks like, but I believe he has knees. Because every knee is going to bow. Including him. So what this shows us is the dominion of Jesus Christ. He said he's exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Christ, every knee shall bow, things in heaven. That would be angels, would it not? He has dominion over that. Things on earth, that would be humans, would it not? Things under the earth, that would be the devil and demons. So he has authority in the name of Jesus Christ. There is authority in heaven, in earth. And on the earth, and under the earth. So it shows us the dominion of Jesus Christ. There is no place that he does not have complete, total dominion. So when we pray, we realize that when we pray to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're praying to someone that has full authority and full power to do anything that we ask him to do. This is why it's important for us when we understand that there are some things that's going on that we can't address directly. We can go to the one that can address them directly because he has complete dominion over the things in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. There may be those that are bound by the devil, bound by demons and different things. Do you realize that there is power and authority in the name of Jesus? And so we must be able to use that name. And this is why it's important for us not to use that name in vain. We have this electricity, right? I don't know what they here in this general area. I don't know what they, is it nuclear plants? Is it, I don't know what it is. But you know, there's something about that. This is, it's beautiful, isn't it? To have light and have the fans going and all of that. But you know what? That stuff is dangerous. And if you don't respect it, it has the ability to kill you. It could either be something that is positive or it could be something that's, when misused, it can actually destroy you. Electricity, something we do all the time. And in the same way, what the scripture is saying here, that the name of Jesus is powerful. It has the ability to comfort you and it has the ability to destroy you. He said, don't use my name in vain. He said, I will not leave him guiltless who used my name in vain. It is because of the power that is in that name. All right? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Maybe there are some of us that have just used the name of the Lord very casually. And I believe in the same way that the Lord is not going to hold us guiltless, we have the name Church of God. We can't use that in vain. We've got to be an example of the believers, just like God wants us to be. And as we do that, then the Lord can bless us and give us the blessings that we need. All right, so here we have established here our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's given us a name which is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, things in heaven, earth, under the earth. All right? Now, I want you to help me a little bit with the name of Jesus, all right? Let's use someone else here. Can I use your brother Ed? You can stay there, but Brother Ed. What is he? What is it? When you say his name, there's a description that comes to your mind.
Pastor.
Okay, he's a pastor. All right? But I want a pastor, all right? We'll put that there. What else?
Husband.
Husband. I'm sorry, but I think that's above pastor, okay? All right. Carpenter.
Cat tech,
okay.
He's my uncle.
Uncle.
Friend.
What else?
He's a counselor.
Father. Right, do we have that? Father? Counselor? What else? Brother?
Nuisance.
We all know that. We won't fit that. But let's just go. I'm going to put some that any man would be. This would be something that most men are. Brothers, sons, at some point. Various things. Now, let me see here. This man, whoever holds the title, whoever is the husband, whoever he is a husband to, has more power than all the rest of these people. It's based on the relationship. All right? What I mean by the power, you understand what I mean. And listen, the ones who call him father has a greater relationship than the one that calls him a cat tech. And the one that calls him a pastor has a greater level of influence with him than somebody that calls him just a carpenter or a friend or an uncle. Each one of these names for this man, each one of these names means some type of relationship with him. All right? And so consequently, each one of these relationships have a level of authority. There are some things that you do for someone that calls you a husband that you won't do for somebody that calls you a friend. There are some things that you'll do for somebody that calls you a friend that you won't do to someone that calls you an uncle or a brother. And so consequently, when we understand the name of Jesus and what that means, then we understand that there is power behind that, and each one of us and each thing in the universe has a relationship with that name. So he's a citizen, all right? And along with that citizenship comes a certain rights, all right? Along with being a son comes a certain right. Along with being a brother comes certain rights. So when we understand that fully, then we can understand a little bit what it means when we go to the Lord Jesus Christ and we put his name here, and it brings up a picture in our minds of who Jesus is. So when we speak of Jesus, we're not just merely talking about the Son of God. I want you to understand what I say when I say that. Not just merely talking about the Son of God, but he is the Son of God. What else is he? He's a husband.
He's a friend.
He's a friend.
Counselor.
Guide.
Brother.
Teacher.
Healer.
Deliverer.
Redeemer.
Praise the Lord.
Savior.
Master.
Lamb of God, Lion of Judah,
Alpha and Omega.
Judah, okay. Lion, okay. Alpha. Excuse my writing. Okay. Creator. Conqueror. Alright. And we can just go on and on. So when we call the name of Jesus, at different times we need him to redeem us from something. Maybe we got ourselves into trouble and we need a redeemer right now. Maybe we are in a state that we need somebody to talk to, and we need a counselor. We need somebody in an official capacity, and Jesus is that. He's our all in all. He's everything that we need. So when we call on the name of Jesus, this is what we call it. Sometimes we just need somebody to talk to, a brother. Sometimes we're in a battle, and it's a great, hard, fought battle. And what do we need? We need somebody that is conquered. Do you realize that the devil, this is why at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. That when the devil hears the name of Jesus, there's power in that name, because the relationship that he has with the devil is that he conquered him. So every time that the devil comes up and he comes against God, the people of Christ, and we call out the name of Jesus, what happens is the devil understands what that name means to him. What that name means to him is that I've been conquered by them. So if they have the authority to use that name, then they have the authority to conquer me in that name. All right? And here's the point. What is his relationship to the wind? He's the creator of it. This is why he can say, "Peace be still," to the waves and the wind, because there's a relationship there that he has authority over that as well. So this is why it's important for us to understand when we read the scripture that it is he has dominion in things in heaven, in earth, under the earth. There is no place that the dominion of Jesus Christ does not reach. And what happens is he gives us the authority when we have that relationship with him. How many of you have a young, let's say a child, let's just take a child for instance. There's a 16, 17 year old that don't want to be bothered with their little brother, little sister. And they're getting ready to go, got the car keys, they're getting ready to go to the store. And they say, "Can I go to the store with you?" "No, I don't want to be bothered with you. I'll be back." What do? They beeline it out to the father. "Daddy, can I go to the store with so and so and so?" "Yeah, baby, you can go with them. Let's tell them I said it. Daddy said I could go." All right? What just happened? The authority of the father was transferred to the little 5-year-old or 3-year-old, whoever they were. The authority of the father was transferred to them. Now that person is not submitting to the authority of that child. They're submitting to the authority of the father. So if they buck the authority of the father, what that child's saying, then they're bucking the authority of the father. This is why what happens is our authority, Jesus Christ, gives us the authority. It's transferred to us. We don't have any power over the devil. Not in and of ourselves. But what happens is because of our relationship with our Heavenly Father, the weakest saint has authority over the strongest demon. If we call out the name of Jesus, because he is a conqueror of that demon. And any other situation that we can bring to our level of understanding, we have power over it, not in our own power, but because we invoke the name of Jesus. And because of the name of Jesus, we have that authority is transferred to us. Now, remember the situation that in Acts, I believe it was, there was somebody that was, let's turn to it, 19th chapter, let's read the 13th verse. Read it for us if you have it. Yes.
"Then certain of the vagabond Jews,"
yes,
"exorcists,"
yes,
"took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits."
Call over them that had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus.
"Saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached."
Okay, now you see what they did? They used the name of Jesus.
Yes.
"I adjure you by the name of Jesus whom Paul preacheth." All right? Yes, yes.
"Chief of the
priests,
which did so.
And the evil spirit answered and said,
Jesus
I know,
Paul
I know,
but who are you?
The man in whom the evil spirits was, leaped on them, overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded." All right, so here's what the situation is. The people did what Paul did. They had seen Paul cast out spirits in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
But the problem was that they did not have a relationship with Jesus. And so even though they maybe said the same words, this is why it is important for us to understand that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It is the relationship of the righteous man that avails, that causes his prayer to avail. These men prayed and they knew that this individual needed some help. And they prayed over this man in the name of Jesus, but because they could not say our Father, they had to say Jesus whom Paul preaches. Paul had a relationship with him, but they didn't. So the authority did not transfer to them because they didn't have a relationship with the Lord. And so in the same way, if we do not have the proper relationship, haven't met the conditions, that the Lord desires us to meet, we don't have that authority either. We can't say in the name of Jesus that somebody else preach. But we say in the name of Jesus that I have a relationship with because he is my Father. I hallow his name. Therefore, he is your conqueror. And that authority transfers down to me. And so I do it in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Alright? Alright, so what do you need the Lord to be? What does the scripture say? See, the coming to God must believe that he is what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right, I don't want to say this, but he is. Let's just stop it there. He is a son. He's a husband. You need a husband? He's a husband. He's a friend. He's a counselor. He's a guide. He's whatever you need him to be. All right. All right. Let's go a little further here. All right. John 16 and 23. If you have it, read it.
16:23.
Yes.
Now that day, you shall ask me nothing.
Yes.
Verily,
I say unto you,
whatsoever
ye shall ask the Father in my name,
he will give it to you.
No, that's a promise.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you ask the Father in my name. Is there salvation in any other name?
No.
Only in the name of Jesus. So while we're talking about what we talked about in the previous discourses, that the world is trying to change that, but there is no salvation in no other name. So if you discredit who Jesus is, then I don't know. I don't know what the Lord does. It's not really my business to know. But I know that I believe that there is salvation in no other name. All right. I want to go a little bit further here. I don't want to. Sometimes I kind of look at my. I get a little long-winded, and I don't want to do that today, tonight. But I want to leave us with an understanding of what God really desires and how to really pray. And I know that I won't be able to do justice to this, but maybe if I can just open up a little bit and you can study. It's not just these things that we're going over tonight, but there's a deep richness in this just passage of scripture and just the Lord's Prayer. What does it mean? What does it truly mean? And how can I become more effectual in my prayer life by understanding what this truly means? And I believe as the Lord opens our understanding and gives us a greater level of knowledge as to what it means to hallow the name of the Lord, then we can stand in some places that the enemy seems like he's taken some of the ground that we should have, and we can gain some of that ground back. May the Lord help us. All right. I want to turn to 1 Samuel 17, chapter 45th verse. We'll see what it means in the Old Testament here. 1 Samuel 17, chapter and 45. This is David and Goliath. We all know that story, don't we?
Then said David
to the Philistine,
Thou comest
to me with a sword,
with a
spear,
with a shield.
I come to thee. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Then he goes on to do a little bragging. This day, not, I don't know that that's bragging. I'm just he's stating facts. This day is what God is going to do. He says, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly may know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Now, David hasted and ran toward him. But here is what David did. In the battles that we face, and we all face giants, we come to things that seem like they loom in a great way. What do we learn? We learn that if we say it in the name of the Lord, we can tell a mountain to move. We can down a giant. We can bring down a giant if we come in the name of the Lord. Here's a situation that I believe is a type of prayer. This interaction with David and Goliath, I believe, is a type of prayer. Because, again, he says, I'm not coming to you with sword and spear. I'm not coming to you with all this armor and whatnot. All I'm coming to you in is the name of the Lord. And I believe that David had a relationship with the Lord to the point that all he had to do was pick up that rock and throw it right at Goliath, and it hit right in the spot that it needed to hit. All right? And in the same way, when we are facing our giants, we're facing things that are just seem like they're just beyond us and almost overwhelm us, our responsibility is not to come in our own strength, try to figure it out for ourselves, but our responsibility is to make certain that we come in the name of the Lord of hosts. There is power in that name. If David had decided in his mind that he was going to go and fight with the sword, he would have been at a disadvantage, wouldn't he? His arm length would not, he wouldn't even been able to get a look in. He wouldn't have been able to do it. But here's what he could do. He could not go face-to-face combat with the giants, but he could pray. He could send the little rock, the little missile, if you will, and ask the Lord, Lord, direct this right to the spot that you want it to, and you bring down the giant. And then with your word and with your sword, I'll cut his hand off, but you bring down the giant. We have that privilege. We have that privilege to pray. There are things that we can't touch. There are things that if we tried, and if people even knew and understood that we were trying to do something different about it, then they would stand so strong against us. But when we go to our closet and we pray and we come and we bring that giant in the name of Jesus, all that it can do is come down. I believe the Lord can send it right where it needs to go. Saints, don't give up on praying. I believe that God hears still, and He still hears and answers our prayer today in 2010. And I believe it's in our responsibility to make certain that when we do whatever we do it in that name. And when we do it in that name, there's a relationship that that giant has to that name. He said, you're defying this name. And the Lord said, if you do that, he's not going to hold him guiltless. And what did the Lord do? David threw the stone. The Lord directed it right where he wanted to go. And the victory belonged to the Israelites, the children of God. Everything was against them. There was no way for it to have happened but by God. And saints, that's the way it's going to be sometimes. The only way for it to happen is by God. All right, so Exodus 20, verse 7. Do you understand a little bit more today? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Saints, let's be careful how we use the name of the Lord. There's power in that name. Whatever it is that we're facing, whatever it is that we're dealing with, there is power and there is authority in the name of Jesus. And everything on the face of this earth has a relationship, some type of relationship with him. Every person has some type of relationship with him. And when we go to him and we're asking him and we have this the relationship that we need, and Jesus being everything that we need, tomorrow it may not be that I just need a Savior. I already have a Savior. He's already become a Savior to me. Tomorrow I may need something. I may need Him to be my healer. Or may need Him to deliver me out of something. He's all of that. His name encompasses everything. We'll bring it out like this. When you call someone's name, whosever name that is, it brings up an image of that person in your mind. And it brings along with it, maybe we don't consciously realize it all the time, but it brings up with it that relationship that we have with that person. And it brings up with it what influence that person has with us and we with that person. And so it's very important for us, and I believe that this is why Jesus said it in when they said, teach us to pray, the first thing that he said, our Father, I want you to understand that there's a relationship that you must have with the Father. Now, we understand that Jesus points everything back to the Father. He's always done that. Any place that you see in the scripture, Jesus never takes it on for himself. He always points it back to the Father, even though he's one with the Father. And that's brought out in John. He says, even though you and I are one, it's one with the Father. But I believe the Lord wants us to understand who he is, what he is, and the power and authority that he has that he will transfer to you and I when we use his name properly. Hallowed, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May the Lord help us. Pray for me.